This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, I love a bit of citizen science. That's where ordinary people like you and me do things to help real scientists do valuable research. Now, I enjoy the feeling that I'm doing something useful that makes a positive contribution to our understanding of the world. I love doing something that's practical and satisfying. And I love doing something which I find interesting and I think that I learn something from. And the citizen science opportunity that we're going to hear about today, well, it ticks all of those boxes. It's called the Big B Hotel Challenge, and it's only one of many citizen science experiments being run by the Buzz Club. This is run by scientists at the University of Sussex. Now, they say that surprisingly little is known about the bees and other insects which are essential to our gardens, and which is where the Buzz Club comes in. Now, the Buzz Club creates experiments that help us understand the wildlife we share our gardens with and what we can do to help conserve it. And there's volunteers all over the UK helping to answer these important questions. And some of the questions they'd like our help with answering this year are around bee hotels. Now, I was keen to find out more, so I spoke to a friend of the show, Professor Dave Goulson. Now, Professor Goulson is Professor of Biology at the University of Sussex, where he specialises in bumblebees. He's written several books on insects and wildlife gardening, and he founded the Bumblebee Conservation Trust back in 2006. Not only that, but he's the Buzz Club director. Professor Goulson, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So just to start with, could you start by telling us a little bit about the Buzz Club and why at the University of Sussex you decided that it'd be a good idea to use, you know, the likes of me, an untrained scientist, to help with your research?
Sure. So the Buzz Club is a citizen science club focused on trying to find out more about what really works to encourage wildlife in a garden. There's lots of advice out there, lots of products, but most of it isn't based on good scientific evidence. The citizen science bit means we're trying to engage with anyone anywhere in the country, or even outside the country if they want, to get them to help us do experiments. So this particular one is about bee hotels. Now, I could make a bee hotel and put it up in my garden. Perhaps my PhD students could put some in their gardens. But we're really limited by the scope of what we can do with the manpower we have. But if we can get hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people all around the country doing the same thing, putting up a bee hotel in their garden and recording how it does, then we can get so much more data and get a much better picture about which kinds of bee hotel really work.
Okay. So, as you said, your latest challenge for Buzz Club members is for us to do the Big Bee Hotel Challenge. What are you hoping to find out from it?
So bee hotels are intended to provide a nesting site for a range of solitary bee species. Now, these are bees people don't know much about. Most people think bees live in a hive, you know, and they make honey and there's a queen and worker bees. Well, that's the honeybee, but these solitary bees are very different. They just live on their own. A female bee builds her own nest. And in the case of the ones that use hotels, they look for some kind of tube, a burrow that they can go into and fill with pollen and lay their eggs in. So there are literally hundreds of different designs of bee hotel that you can find in garden centres and online and so on, or you can make them yourself pretty simply. But we don't really have good information about which ones are the best designs. So what does a solitary bee really look for when she's prospecting for a place to make her nest? So that's what we're trying to find out. We want to get people to test whatever bee hotels they have or whatever design they've made themselves and tell us how it gets on. And then we can analyze the data, hopefully from all around the country, lots of different people, lots of different types of bee hotel, and get data on not just which hotel works best, but what size holes bees prefer. Some of these hotels have different size holes. What position is best? Should it be on a south-facing wall, a north-facing wall? Should it be on a wall at all, or a tree, or a fence? What's best? So we're hoping, ultimately, to be able to feed back to everybody the answer. You know, what is the best place, the best type of bee hotel, and where should you put it, and all the rest of it, so that, ultimately, we can help to look after the bees.
Okay. And these solitary bees, why are they so important?
Well, they make up the bulk of bee species, actually. So you might be surprised to learn there are about 270 different species of bee in the UK. And most of them are solitary, about 250 of them. And they're all pollinators. So, for example, one of the commonest residents of a bee hotel is a little thing called the red mason bee. I saw my first one a couple of days ago. They're just coming out on the wing. And they're really good at pollinating fruit trees. They love to visit apples, cherries, pears and so on. And they're more effective pollinators, actually, than honeybees for fruit trees. And hence, of course, you know, we've got a selfish reason to want to look after them.
Yeah, they certainly sound like useful little creatures to have in our gardens. So could you just tell us where these bees nest if they don't have a bee hotel?
So they will use hollow stems of things like dead blackberry stems or burrows in dead wood where, say, a beetle has burrowed into a dead tree and left a hole behind, that kind of place. But they're probably few and far between in the modern tidy world, particularly in gardens and urban areas. There aren't lots of old dead trees rotting away. There aren't lots of dead brambles left around. So hence the need to provide them with some kind of artificial nesting site.
Okay. So these little bees, very important, as you say, the places that they would naturally nest. We don't have so many of those now. So if we wanted to join in with your challenge, we need a bee hotel. If we're going out to buy one, do you have anything to say to us, or do you just want to go and buy one at random? Or do you want to make one, I suppose?
So the cheapest option is to make one. And you can find me on YouTube describing various different ways you can make your own bee hotel from materials you can find lying around. The very simplest thing is to drill some holes in a piece of wood. That is a very basic, but still works to a point, bee hotel. Or if you've got no DIY skills or inclination, there are a huge range that you can buy. We're actually sponsored by a company called Wildlife Community, who make a lot of bee hotel designs, and they have offered a £250 voucher for a prize draw for anyone who takes part in the experiment. But I'm not giving you the hard sell on their models. There are lots to choose from. Pick whichever one you like or make your own. The key thing is register your bee hotel with the Buzz Club, which means going to the Buzz Club website, which is www.thebuzzclub.uk. And once you go there, it's a bit of a faff putting in your details to start with. I'm afraid the university makes us put up a bunch of sort of information about the project and how your data will be used and all that boring stuff. But once you just skim through that and then put in the information about your bee hotel, and then once a month we'll send you a reminder. And what we're asking people to then do is take a photograph of the front of their hotel where the holes are, so that we can see how many holes have been occupied. And we get some idea of which types of bee as well, because there are different sorts of bees that use these hotels, and they use different materials in their building. So, for example, the little mason bee uses clay to plug up the hole when it's full, whereas leafcutter bees use little slices of leaf to plug up the hole. So we can see how many of which type of bee have moved in.
Wow, that sounds very, very interesting just to watch, actually, as you say, particularly with all these different kinds of bees. And I'm just thinking, do we need to have a garden to join in with this? Or could we literally, I don't know if we've just got a front wall on our house or a flat or on a balcony, could we put a bee hotel up there? Oh, and do they sting, actually? I suppose that's the other thing.
You could put one anywhere. And actually, I've got about 15 in my garden, and they're mostly on the wall of the house, right next to my little coffee table where I sit up in the morning having a coffee when the sun's shining, not today, sadly. It's such good fun to just sit and watch of a spring morning, these little bees busily going backwards and forwards. They're no threat to anybody. The females do have a sting, but it's so feeble that they can't get it through human skin. They're quite small bees. And literally you can sit right next to them, put your nose up against the hotel if you like, and they won't bother you at all. And I love it. Every morning when the sun shines, I have a coffee and I watch my little bees doing their thing.
Okay. Well, that sounds really, I'd thought of putting a bee hotel like sort of out of the way somewhere, but actually you're inspiring me to think, I'd quite like to have this next to my garden table so I can, as you say, join in. I'd be really interested to see the little bees too. That sounds like a really good idea. And this isn't too labour intensive, this is it? We're just doing a photo once a month to send to you?
That's exactly it. So once you've registered the bee hotel on the website, you'll get a little reminder saying your photo is due once a month through the spring and summer. And at the end of the year, we'll collate all the data and we'll send you a kind of newsletter, a summary of everything that we've found and whatever recommendations we have.
Brilliant. So that then we can make sure we've got the best kind of bee hotel for encouraging these wonderful solitary bees into our garden. Well, Professor Goulson, thank you so much for explaining that. And perhaps you would be kind enough to return and tell us about the findings once you have them.
I'd love to.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Now, I love this challenge. I have my bee hotel in place and I signed up to the Buzz Club and to join in with the challenge. I think it'd be a really good thing to do with children. It's not difficult to join in. As Professor Goulson says, you do have to wade through a bit of compulsory paperwork first, but it only takes a couple of minutes. I was then asked for some information about my bee hotel, what it's made of, how big it is, how big the holes are, how far apart they are, that sort of thing. So you might want to have your bee hotel and a ruler to hand when you register. I'll put a link to the YouTube video of Professor Goulson making a simple bee hotel into the notes that accompany the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And I'll also include a link to the Buzz Club so you don't confuse it with the various tattoo parlours sharing the same name around the country. And if you'd like to buy a bee hotel rather than make one, then your local garden centre is the place to go. And we've got some great ones around here. You can, of course, buy them online, but Professor Goulson warned me that all the solitary bee action is just about to happen, so you really want to get that bee hotel in place as soon as you can. I've had my bee hotel in place for a few days now, no action yet, but I'm going to keep you updated. And do let me know if you'll be joining in with the Big Bee Hotel Challenge and if you've had any solitary bee nesting in your bee hotel yet. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. And talking of nests, as I'm recording this for you, the female peregrine falcon nesting on the roof of St. Albans Cathedral has just laid her third egg. It's blowing a gale down here and it looks even windier up there on the webcam. But she is undeterred. Just fantastic. If you missed last week's show where Tim Hill of the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust told us some of the amazing things that we've discovered about these awesome birds, as well as the huge gaps in our knowledge that we'll hopefully be filling by observing birds like those nesting in St. Albans Cathedral, then head to the podcast page of mix926.com where you can listen at your leisure. And do subscribe to the show with your favourite podcast provider so you don't miss another episode. Whilst you've got your lab coat on, I've got some more citizen science for you to join in. Now, the Marine Stewardship Council wants us to join in their Source to Sea litter quest. I can tell what you're thinking. We're in Hertfordshire. We're miles from the sea. And that's the point. The Marine Stewardship Council are researching where the litter that ends up in the sea starts its journey. And that could be right here in Hertfordshire, perhaps even on your road. Now, they reckon that 80% of marine litter comes from land-based sources. So finding out what's being dropped and where it's being dropped can be used to find solutions to ocean pollution and to campaign for measures to bring positive change there. Now, to join in, head to the What You Can Do pages of the MSC website. Again, I'll put a link into the show notes. There you can download a simple recording form with pictures of litter items that they'd like you to record, things like plastic bottles, vapes. Then get your gloves on and your litter pickers, if you've got them, and head to your local park or your street or your river and record which litter items you spot there, and keep a tally of how many you find. Now, if it's safe to and the litter is on public land, you can either take the rubbish home with you, or you can arrange an uplift of litter with the local council. Most of our local councils in Hertfordshire will do this. And do remember to recycle the litter wherever possible. And finally, submit your findings back on the MSC website. And I think that's a great way to get out into the fresh air, help reduce plastic pollution, and help the MSC to find solutions to marine litter. And again, what a brilliant thing to do with kids. Everybody can take part, can't they? Another really interesting study that I think would be well suited to us here in busy Hertfordshire is the Natural History Museum's Nature Overheard Survey. Now, we all know that insects are important for a healthy environment, but we're perhaps less aware that noise can make it hard for insects to communicate with each other. And they may have to change their sounds to be heard in noisy places. So the Natural History Museum wants us to collect data to better show how road noise affects insects. Now, essentially, you choose somewhere near a road, you record some details about the spot that you've chosen, and then you record the surrounding noises for 5 minutes. Then you record and photograph all the insects that you can find in your survey area. And don't worry, whilst they want you to have a good, thorough look for insects, they don't want you to spend more than 15 minutes. And there's a really clear and helpful survey form with pictures and details of everything you need to do and the types of insects that you might see. And the whole experiment is designed so that school children could do the surveying, but it would also be super interesting for anyone to take part. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.